I remember the weight of the file before I remembered the details, because some cases carry mass long before they reveal substance, and this one had been gathering it for years through unanswered questions, partial records, and a silence that never quite settled. So when it resurfaced, it did not feel new but unfinished, as if time itself had paused and resumed without permission. The materials came back across my desk in fragments rather than a clean sequence, consisting of transcripts I had already reviewed once before, tips logged years apart by different hands, and media coverage that had reshaped public memory without altering the underlying facts, which meant I had to slow everything down and rebuild the timeline exactly as it was documented, resisting the urge to compress what had taken a decade to unfold. Nothing in the record suggested a sudden revelation or a dramatic turn, only a gradual re-examination, driven by persistence, technology, and renewed attention, all of which had to be weighed against what could be confirmed rather than what was hoped for. By the time the search resumed, the name attached to every page was Michelle Parker. When I first reviewed the Michelle Parker case file, I approached it the same way I had approached dozens of unresolved disappearances, by starting not with the disappearance itself, but with the structure of the life surrounding it. Because context is not something added later, it is the frame that determines whether the rest of the picture holds. Michelle Parker was a mother of four living in Central Florida, navigating a divided household following a separation from her former fiancé Dale Smith, with whom she shared custody of their twins, while also raising two older children from a previous relationship. The arrangement was documented through court filings, custody exchanges, and communications that were not unusual in form, though strained in tone, reflecting the kind of post-separation dynamics that law enforcement encounters frequently and cannot treat as predictive without evidence. In the weeks leading up to her disappearance, Michelle's daily routine was consistent and well-documented through witness statements, phone records, and family testimony, showing no confirmed plans to leave her children, relocate suddenly, or disengage from her responsibilities, which became an important baseline later when voluntary disappearance was considered and ultimately set aside by investigators. She was employed, active in her children's schedules, and in regular contact with family members, particularly her parents, who later became central figures in maintaining pressure on authorities to keep the case active. None of the confirmed records indicated financial preparation or behavioral withdrawal that would support a planned disappearance, a point that remained consistent across every subsequent review of the file. The relationship between Michelle Parker and Dale Smith had been publicly visible through their appearances on a nationally broadcast reality television program, which documented aspects of their personal conflict and custody disputes, creating a layer of public familiarity that complicated later investigation, because televised material is not investigative evidence but does influence perception. Law enforcement treated the show as contextual background only, extracting timelines and statements that could be corroborated independently, while avoiding narrative conclusions based on edited footage. This distinction mattered, because public opinion formed early and often diverged from what could be proven or disproven through records. On the day Michelle Parker was last seen, her activities followed the pattern of a scheduled custody exchange, a fact established through phone data, location records, and witness accounts, including confirmation that she had dropped off her twins at Dale Smith's residence earlier that afternoon. From there, the documentation becomes narrower rather than broader, not because of missing effort, but because fewer verifiable interactions occurred, which is often the most difficult phase of any disappearance investigation. Her vehicle, a Hummer SUV, was later found abandoned in a parking lot in Orlando, with no signs of a struggle inside and no immediate forensic indicators pointing toward violence, a discovery that expanded the search radius while simultaneously limiting conclusions. When law enforcement first responded, the case was handled as a missing person investigation rather than a confirmed homicide, which dictated the initial scope of search operations, interviews, and public alerts. Officers canvassed known locations, reviewed surveillance footage where available, and conducted voluntary interviews with individuals in Michelle's immediate circle, including Dale Smith, who cooperated with questioning but denied any involvement in her disappearance. At that stage, no physical evidence contradicted his statements, and no charges were filed, a status that would remain unchanged for years. The early search efforts included ground searches, aerial surveys, and waterway checks based on proximity and tip information, all of which were logged with coordinates, personnel assignments, and outcome summaries, showing extensive activity without recovery of trace evidence. Each negative search result narrowed certain possibilities while leaving others open, a process that can feel like progress internally while appearing stagnant externally, particularly to family members who are living with the absence rather than the paperwork. Throughout this period, Michelle Parker's case remained open, active in classification, but increasingly quiet and visible movement. As months turned into years, the investigative file grew thicker rather than thinner, accumulating tips from the public that ranged from potentially credible to clearly speculative, each requiring documentation and follow-up regardless of perceived value. Some tips came from individuals claiming sightings, others from acquaintances offering retrospective interpretations of past conversations, and some from anonymous sources whose information could not be substantiated. Each entry was evaluated against existing evidence, a repetitive but necessary process that prevented both premature closure and unfounded escalation. By the time the case reached its 10th year, it existed in a state familiar to anyone who works unresolved files, officially active but functionally dormant unless new information emerged, maintained through periodic reviews, database updates, and continued contact with Michelle Parker's family, who never stopped advocating for renewed attention. It was against this backdrop, defined more by endurance than momentum, that the case would eventually resurface, not through a single dramatic discovery, but through a convergence of factors that justified reopening search efforts on a scale not seen since the early days. The renewed activity in the Michelle Parker investigation did not begin with a recovered object or a sudden confession, but with a reassessment of accumulated information that had been sitting in the file for years, waiting for conditions that made re-examination both possible and productive. Advances in technology, changes in investigative staffing, and sustained public attention created an environment where older tips could be reviewed with fresh context, cross-referenced against updated databases, and evaluated using methods that were not available during the initial investigation. This phase is often misunderstood as a breakthrough, when in reality, it is a recalibration, a careful return to what was already known. Among the materials reviewed were recorded interviews, including multiple sessions with Dale Smith, conducted over several years, all of which had been preserved in their original form, allowing investigators to compare statements across time without relying on memory or summaries. These recordings, sometimes referred to publicly as tapes, became a focal point not because they contained new information, but because they allowed for consistency analysis, a process that examines how accounts change or remain stable when retold under different circumstances. In this case, investigators noted variations in emphasis and detail, though none rose to the level of direct contradiction or provided probable cause for arrest. Public interest intensified as media outlets revisited the case, often highlighting the passage of time and the absence of resolution, which in turn generated new tips, some of which referenced locations or scenarios that had not been thoroughly searched during earlier efforts. Law enforcement logged each of these tips, prioritizing those that aligned with verifiable elements of the original timeline, particularly those involving areas accessible from known locations on the day Michelle Parker disappeared. The decision to act on certain tips rather than others was documented through internal review, showing a methodical rather than reactive approach. In 2022, investigators announced plans to conduct a renewed search in a wooded area of Orange County, Florida, based on information that suggested potential relevance to the case. This announcement marked the first large-scale physical search effort tied publicly to Michelle Parker's disappearance in several years, drawing attention not only from the media but from volunteers and observers familiar with the long history of the case. The search was conducted with modern equipment, including ground-penetrating radar and cadaver dogs, tools that increased detection capability but did not guarantee results. I reviewed the operational plans for this search, which detailed grid assignments, environmental conditions, and contingency protocols, all indicating a carefully structured effort rather than a symbolic gesture. The area selected had been previously inaccessible or deprioritized due to development constraints and limited tip credibility at the time, factors that had since changed. Investigators emphasized that the search was based on credible information, but stopped short of confirming any specific theory, a deliberate choice meant to manage expectations and preserve investigative integrity. During the search, No human remains or personal effects conclusively linked to Michelle Parker were recovered, a result that was communicated publicly with restraint, avoiding language that would suggest failure or closure. Instead, officials described the effort as part of an ongoing process, reinforcing that the absence of recovery did not negate the value of the information that prompted the search. This distinction is important, because negative results can still eliminate possibilities and refine future efforts, though that impact is less visible to those outside the investigation. The role of recorded interviews, including those with Dale Smith, remained central during this period, not as evidence of guilt, but as reference points against which new information could be measured. Investigators revisited timelines, re-verified alibis, and compared statements to updated location data, ensuring that any discrepancies were documented and addressed. Throughout this process, Smith continued to deny involvement, and no charges were filed, maintaining the case's unresolved status while underscoring the evidentiary threshold required for prosecution. The renewed search also prompted law enforcement to re-engage with Michelle Parker's family, providing updates and reaffirming commitment, a practice that serves both investigative and human purposes. Family members were informed of developments before public announcements, allowing them to process information without the distortion that can accompany media coverage. Their response, documented through statements and interviews, reflected cautious hope rather than expectation. Shaped by years of experience with the case's cycles of attention and quiet. As 2023 approached, the investigation entered a phase characterized less by visible action and more by analytical consolidation, incorporating the results of renewed searches, updated tip evaluations, and continued review of existing evidence. The case had not transformed overnight, but it had shifted from static maintenance to active reassessment, a change that mattered even without immediate resolution. What remained unchanged was the absence of definitive answers, a reality that framed the next stage of the case not as a conclusion, but as an ongoing effort grounded in documentation rather than speculation. After the renewed searches concluded and the public attention gradually receded, the Michelle Parker case returned to a quieter phase, though not the same dormancy that had defined earlier years, because the investigative landscape had been altered by what had been reviewed, eliminated, and reaffirmed. The file now contained updated analyses, new tip assessments, and refined timelines that narrowed certain possibilities while leaving others unresolved. This accumulation did not point conclusively in any single direction, but it did provide a clearer map of where the case stood and where it could reasonably go. Law enforcement maintained the classification of the case as an active missing person investigation, with the understanding that evidence supported the conclusion that Michelle Parker did not leave voluntarily, even though no physical proof of her death had been recovered. This classification carried implications for resource allocation, interagency communication, and continued public engagement, all of which were documented through procedural updates and internal memoranda. The decision reflected the balance between evidentiary restraint and investigative persistence that defines long-term unresolved cases. The role of Dale Smith remained unchanged in official terms, as he had not been charged and continued to deny involvement, a status supported by the absence of prosecutable evidence rather than affirmative exoneration. Investigators continued to review any new information related to him as it emerged, applying the same standards used throughout the case, which require corroboration and relevance rather than inference. This approach, while often criticized externally, aligns with legal and ethical obligations that govern criminal investigation. Public interest in the case continued in waves, driven by anniversaries, media retrospectives, and ongoing advocacy from Michelle Parker's family, whose efforts ensured that her disappearance remained visible despite the passage of time. Their advocacy was documented through public statements and participation in awareness campaigns, all of which contributed to the steady flow of tips that investigators continued to evaluate. Each tip, regardless of origin, entered the same process, logged, reviewed, and either integrated or dismissed based on verifiable criteria. From an investigative standpoint, what remains most striking about the Michelle Parker case is not the absence of effort, but the persistence of uncertainty, a condition that resists narrative closure, but reflects the reality of many unresolved disappearances. The records show years of methodical work, repeated review, and cautious adaptation to new information, all conducted within the constraints imposed by evidence, rather than speculation. This persistence does not guarantee resolution, but it does establish a factual foundation that can support future developments if and when new information emerges. As of the last documented updates in 2023, no remains had been recovered, no arrests had been made, and no definitive explanation for Michelle Parker's disappearance had been confirmed. The case remained open, active in classification, and subject to ongoing review, a status communicated consistently by law enforcement to avoid misinterpretation. This factual finality, incomplete though it may feel, defines the current state of the investigation without embellishment or conclusion. What remains, then, is a documented absence anchored by confirmed effort, a case defined not by a solved ending, but by an enduring commitment to evidence, process, and restraint. Michelle Parker's name remains on active files, her disappearance acknowledged rather than closed, and her case continues to exist not as a story with an ending, but as an investigation that has not yet reached one.